see everyone here, already been blessed by the thoughts that we heard this morning, and been blessed with Brother Dennis's thoughts there, and positive thinking, and also Dave's opening there. I thought it went well with the message I had to share with this morning, and the Sunday school lesson as well. I didn't realize the Sunday school lesson was what it was when I studied for the message this morning, but I did kind of shift my direction a little bit, and I think Brother Dave touched on some of those points that I was thinking of sharing originally, so God has different ways of working, I guess. But I'd like to preach a message this morning on a transformed life. So we think of a transformed life. I've titled the message, The Transformed Life. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, I'd like to turn to those verses first of all, as we think of a life that is transformed. Romans 12, verse 1 through 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. What does the word transform mean? I looked the word up. There's several different meanings that I got, but I'll just read what I have here. It means to completely change the form of, nature, or character of something, often to improve it, to completely change its function. It involves a dramatic shift, such as converting a rundown building into a home or changing energy from one form to another. As we think of transform, transforming something is different than what we would sometimes say we do to like a vehicle, or we refurbish it, or what's the other word for it? I can't think of it now. Restore, thank you. It's different from restore. Transform is completely redoing it, completely changing into something else. As we think of a transformed way of thinking, think of the best illustration I could think of was a caterpillar and a butterfly. It's two different creatures, but it's one of the only creatures that I thought of. Maybe there's more, but it's really the only creature that I thought of that gets to crawl in its lifetime and fly in its lifetime. It's kind of unique how God created the caterpillar and the butterfly. So as we think of transforming our minds, our hearts, let's remember that it's completely changing it. Ephesians 4, verse 20 through 24, I'd like to turn to those verses. Paul brings out here, he's talking here, he names some of the sins of the flesh and things that our old self has to work with. He comes in verse 20, Ephesians chapter 4, says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in the spirit of your mind, be renewed, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Paul mentions a list of sins of the flesh and how to. He's talking here about renewing the spirit of our mind. So it has to start in our heart or in our mind. That's where this renewing takes place. This transforming happens inside of us. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. means to replace something old with a new supply. Replace, rebuild, restore, refresh, replenish, or revamp. So the renewing of that, renew means a little bit different than what we would normally look at transform as. Transform is to completely change. And I think the transformation that I would like to look at this morning that I believe this is talking about is it starts in our heart, inside where nobody can see. Only God knows what is there. It begins in the heart. And some people would say you can't transform the inside without showing itself on the outside. And I think there's truth to that. We'll touch on that a little bit later. Matthew 7, verse 16 through 20 says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them," says there in verse 20. What for fruit is coming from a person's life? Is it good fruit or is it bad fruit? I believe that's how you can tell if a person is transformed. Eventually, the fruit that grows on a tree will tell you what for tree it is. You can't see the inside of the tree, but you can see what for fruit is coming from the tree. And I think that's how the Christian life is as well. In Galatians, we have the fruits of the flesh, which is bad fruit, and we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is good fruit. And I'd like to turn to that, Galatians chapter 5. And in my study, I spent a good bit of time in Galatians. It's very interesting how Paul brings it out in different places, how the transformed life comes out in a real way in Galatians. Galatians 5. I might just take the time to read this chapter. As we start into this chapter here, Paul is talking to the Galatians, and they're making a big deal over circumcision here. And in my own words, Paul basically tells them that circumcision means nothing. It doesn't matter what you, if you're circumcised or uncircumcised, what matters is the heart. What comes from your heart. I'll just read the chapter here. Galatians 5, verse 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For ye through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Notice that phrase, faith which worketh by love. I'll come back to that a little bit later. Verse 7, "Ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be not otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Coming back there to verse 6, but faith which worketh by love. I believe the first step in having a transformed heart is faith in believing that Jesus and God are true. That believing on Jesus. Faith that worketh by love. When we realize that God loved us even before we knew Him, or even before we loved Him, we recognize that and we have faith that He loved us. And it changes our heart in the way we view Him and others. And when we take on that love of Christ in our hearts, it changes our heart inside. Faith by love. Romans 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When God's word is preached, He speaks to us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When a person sees his or her need of God and comes to Him, believing that He will forgive them, that He will heal them, that His power is available, that change begins to take place in that person's heart. When we realize that of ourselves we are nothing, and we see our sinfulness, and we come to Christ, that's when Christ can begin His work of transformation in our heart. And only then can we start bringing those good fruits forth. Without God's work in our life, we really are dead. We loved Him because He first loved us. When we realize that except Jesus is part of our life, we are nothing. The love begins to form there for God, for what He did for us. And that change takes place in our heart. When we see His love and by faith accept His free gift of forgiveness for the mess that we have caused in our life, God's work begins to work in our hearts. His Spirit works in our lives to free us from that condemnation, to forgive us, to bring us those fruits of love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. And the rest of the fruits that it mentions there, those fruits start to grow in our life. Instead of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Those are things that grow on with the old man inside of us. But when Christ enters us, those things can't grow anymore. And I believe it's like we heard this morning, it's a lifelong process. It's something that we have to continually keep putting the old man down in our heart, in our life. And this work of transformation continues to happen. It's a continuing work. By their fruits you shall know them. The inside of our hearts is what gets completely changed. The outside might need restored, depending how long you've lived in sin sometimes. You know, those people that Jesus came to in the Bible, some of them made drastic changes, and others, it usually said that they could see that they had been with Jesus, and I think they do. It does reveal itself. But a life of sin leaves scars sometimes. It's a little hard for me to explain this. I was following someone through Greenfield yesterday, and the driver in the vehicle, I came up behind him and the light turned green and he basically just floored it and took off. And stepped on the brakes, next light turned green, floored it again. And you could tell he was just like, I don't know. You know what for a driver I'm talking about, probably. I mean, he would go through town, step on about 3 or 4 times, going past a group of people, and I thought about that driver in that vehicle. If the best way for me to explain transformation is our life, like, we don't change, or I shouldn't say we don't change, but we still live in our body. What has to change is the inside of our heart. So if we would take that driver and, maybe Elba would drive that vehicle. Not looking at you in a bad way, Elba, but if let's say she would drive that vehicle, it'd probably look completely different. And that vehicle would begin to drive different. And after a while, you might see that vehicle begin to come around a little shined up, or I don't know. You get the picture. The person in the vehicle is what actually, the driver in the vehicle makes a difference on the vehicle's outward appearance and the way the vehicle drives. So, hopefully you got the picture there. I guess that's kind of the way transformation looks to me, is our heart inside of us changes. Our control center changes, and that follows, our outward appearance follows. And Christ is the only one who can do that work in our hearts. It's His transforming power. We are not our own. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 through 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." We are transformed by God. We are not our own. Our body is the temple of God. God wants to live inside of us. There's an article that I read as I was studying here. I'll just read what it has to say. The new birth is not categorized by someone who presumes to be a very strict religionist, one who lives a good moral life, or one who boasts in his church affiliation. No one who can boast of bringing many sinners to Christ. Nor one who boasts of bringing sinners to Christ. The sinner does not know anything about the new birth. Jesus said, "You must be born again." And I believe what he's saying there, a sinner does not know anything about the new birth, is when we come to Christ as a sinner, we have to claim the new birth before we can feel that power in our life. These are people that look very religious indeed, but look at Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, a very strict religious person. He went to the place of worship 3 times a day. He said prayers. He brought sacrifices. He celebrated the Passover. And he tried to keep the law. He gave 10% of what he possessed. And to him, Jesus said, "You must be born again." The new birth is not merely keeping the law, joining church, going to church, or being religious, being baptized, or even living a religious creed, trying to pay your bills, or being a good neighbor, living a clean moral life, loving your enemies, or being a Sunday school teacher. Let's consider Nicodemus, who assumed himself a righteous man. He wasn't a crook or drunkard or gambler, and yet Jesus said he must be born again. 2 Timothy 3 verse 5, it refers to an outward appearance here. It says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I think we have to remember that just going through the form and having a form isn't enough. I think sometimes that's important, but it's not enough. Jesus has to change the inside of our heart. Accepting Jesus in our heart is still the only way we get we have salvation. It's interesting, even people that go to church all their life and they grow up being someone who was a pious person, we would say, still feel their need of Christ in their life. And we can go through all these things and they're not bad in themselves. It's actually good. But we cannot earn our salvation by good works. We still need Jesus to change our heart. John said in John chapter 12, verse 24 through 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, bring forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life shall keep it unto life eternal. Sacrifice leads to new life, abundant life. It illustrates the true life comes from letting go of ourselves here. Dying to ourselves, we become a new person. Like a germinated seed, you put it in the ground, it dies and brings up life from there. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Galatians 2:20, Paul is speaking here, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I live, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is making mention of himself living in his flesh and body, and yet living by faith in his heart of what Christ did for him. I have an illustration here that I brought with this morning, and I'd like to do it here. This illustration brings out transformation that I would like to leave with us today. Only through Jesus' blood can we be clean and cleansed. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 23. I'd like to look at some verses there yet. Chapter 6. Verse 1, Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore, if we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for we are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid." Paul brings out here that even though Christ saved us, doesn't say we keep living in sin. That power that Christ enables us with, gives us power to be victorious, like we heard this morning in our Sunday school lesson. God's power in our life transforms us and gives us power above, above sin. And we can go on to live that new life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new life, a new man. A new person. Jesus told the woman at the well when she came to get water there, he talked to her about that living water. Jesus wants to give that living water, and he's the only one that can give it. He came to give life. John 10:10 says, "A thief cometh not but for to kill and destroy." Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That river of life that Brother Dave talked about, as it flows into our heart, we give it to other people around us. We begin to bless others. That joy, that the fruit starts to reveal in our heart, and we can't help it because Christ is in our life. It will reveal itself. Interestingly, there was a person that was doing a study on Democrats and Republicans to see what people were. And just by looking at the person, he could usually tell what the person was. A lot of times, not, but it almost always worked. And I wonder, is that how it is in our life? Can people tell that we are Jesus, that we are Jesus' disciples, and they see that Jesus is in our heart? I think by the fruits that come out of our life, they should be able to see that. Can people see that in my life? And I don't think it's something that we can put on. I think people will see it. Eventually, our fruit will reveal what's in our heart. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, life and godliness. In our political world, we hear people, sometimes they keep rushing to treat the symptom. We have school shooting and violence, and people say guns are the problem. We have video games are the problem. Schools are a problem. Parents are violent, and so they say disciplining children is a problem. On and on the list goes. There's many more we could talk about, but do we see that sometimes in our churches? We maybe oversimplify and try to put a band-aid on something to fix it, when people actually need a heart transplant. They need transformation. They need that new life in Christ that only Christ can give. They need that living water, that new birth. You know, we can't change a person's heart. We can show them God's love, and we can pray for them. And I challenge us, let's pray for the lost souls that are around us. Let's remember that God is the one that changes hearts. Mark 9, we have Jesus and his disciples, and the disciples are trying to cast out this evil spirit in this little boy, and they couldn't do it. And later, after Jesus cast the spirit out, the disciples came and asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus' words in verse 29 of Mark chapter 9, he says, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. How often things look different when we see the real need and we pray and fast about it. We can love, we can pray, but God has to do the work in a person's life. Jesus loved us so much that he gave all to come and die for us, for you and me. In John 8, the Pharisees brought that woman to Jesus that was living in adultery. And we know how the story went there. Jesus just stooped down and wrote on the ground, and after a while, the Pharisees walked out one by one. And Jesus looked up, and the woman was the only person there. He said, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's what Jesus wants to do in our lives, in our hearts. And I think we can show our love to others, and that's what we should be doing in our life as God transforms us. Those are the fruits that come out of our heart. Finding new purpose in life. I listened to a message recently where brother was talking about soil and the health of soil. And it was a challenge to me. Am I creating that healthy atmosphere, that soil where plants can grow in, where trees can grow in, where plants can bring forth fruit? Am I putting into the soil what God puts into my life? It's a challenge for myself. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I think the love that we have for God, the love that we have for our brethren, the love that we have for people around us can only come from God. That power, that connection that we have with God is the only way that we can show that to others around us. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In closing, Hebrews 10, verse 24 through 25 says, and let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. considering one another to love and good works. And I think the good works that we do, I don't think they buy us eternal life. Only Christ can give us that. But those are the works that come forth, the fruits that come out of our life as we give our heart to Christ. In closing here, I'd like to just challenge for myself is, who is driving my vehicle? Is it God or is it myself? Let God's transforming power do its work in your life. He loved you so much, he's waiting for all to call on him, and he has promised that he will not turn anyone away. Ask him to come into your life and make him what you want, what he wants you to be. Pray that God can use you to help others and to know him more. He wants to transform each one of us and bless us. With these thoughts, let's kneel for prayer. Change us from the inside out. We just pray that you would go with us.